Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord. Glory be to your name, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give it thanks unto the Father always. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of our lips, always give it thanks unto his name. Father, we thank you, we worship you for the same purpose which you created us, Lord, and redeemed us to have continuous fellowship with you and the joy in your presence. Even as we do this morning, we bless and we glorify your name. As we read your word this morning, bless us, Father, in the reading thereof. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We are welcome again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read the text of scripture here. We all heard about the story of Job before, but I'm not talking about him so much this morning, but just about one or two verses of scripture from the book of Job, the 38th chapter of the book of Job. We read a phrase in the fourth verse, then I will skip to the 32nd verse, where I will take a text from. So, Job 38:1, the first part of it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," and in there, the Lord spoke a lot of things to him as his ordeal was ending, and lot of things. But I want to pick the one that the Lord said to him in verse 32. So you can pray together. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," at the second verse, "Canst thou bring forth Lazarus in his season?" And that's my text this morning. That's at the second verse. "Can thou bring forth Lazarus in his season?" So what is that? This morning I want to talk about even Lazarus gives witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. As a Lazarus gives witness to Christ. That's my subject this morning by the grace of God. The English Revised Version has the word Lazarus as the 12 signs. And the Margin has it as the 12 signs of the zodiac. So that's what the Margin says. So we see that the scriptures mention the 12 signs of the zodiac with a direct implication that God brings them into view at the proper time for his own purpose. Say, can you bring them forth, Job? He couldn't do it, and so on. So, how contrary is this to the general idea of associating the 12 signs of the zodiac with the pseudoscience of astrology, which we know today is playing such a large part in the occult revolution of this day. Now, all they know about the zodiac, when you hear it today, is that, horoscope, and all those kind of things, but the truth is this, these are just perverting the truth, actually, that God has given. So, many have come to assume that the zodiac was always central to the devil-inspired teachings of astrologers. But the truth is this, astrology did not invent or originate the signs of the zodiac. It didn't. God created them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So how do we know in Psalm 136, verse 1, that God created these things, those signs, God put them there. I'm going to talk about them this morning by God's grace. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Jump to verse 5. "To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever." So those signs of the zodiac, they are made by the Lord. The heavens were made by the wisdom of God. He by wisdom made the heavens. Not as astrologers, not astrology, not at all really, So what astrology has done really is to corrupt those signs up there and change their use from that which God originally intended. Do you know where astrology comes from? It came from Babylon, really. That's where it originated from. From historical purposes and so on. Came from Babylon. And of course, God had a strong condemnation of astrology. And in his words of impending judgment against Babylon, where astrology came from, when he pronounced judgment on Babylon, they called the oppressed his ancient people, right? That is found in Isaiah 47, not only to them only, but to anybody who will follow astrology. This is a judgmental thing that God, you know, is God believes to astronomy, astrology as a devilish thing. You cannot deliver anybody. You cannot guide your future. It's all lies of the devil. Praise the Lord. Yeah, what he says in Isaiah 47, verse 1 and 13. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, where astrology came from, right? Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldean, the daughter of Babylon. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Then Job 13th verse, to tell you who he's talking to. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, that's what you know, O Babylon, astrologers, and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. The whole chapter talk about all the things that come to Babylon in punishment for enslaving and for oppressing his ancient people, you know. So the same thing will follow those who follow astrology in any form or shape, whether in horoscope or that kind of thing, and you leave the Bible alone, and they are, you know, looking for, and they are measuring their life by where the position of the sun is, where the moon is, and all these kind of things. God hated them, you know, and God began to rebuke the people and say, don't do it, and some of that, you know. So the word zodiac comes from the Greek word zodiacos, meaning a circle, that's what it means, you know, and which has as a primitive root the word zoada, meaning a way or a path. So this is a circle, meaning a circle, a way, and so on. So in other words, in this connection, it is used of the way along which the sun appears to move through the stars in the course of 12 months. You can see it in two ways. You can see the apparent movement of the sun, or you can see as the earth moves around the sun, it passes through each of the signs, the 12 signs, you know, each month, and things like that. To aid you, are you passing this around quickly? So I make it easier this time around. Praise the Lord. Let's see what the zodiac is. Let's see what Mazarot is. Bible call it Mazarot, you know. People call it zodiac, you know. But we are talking, I will call it the regular language and so on, you know. I already lay a foundation having to do with astrology whatsoever. It's condemned. We are talking of prophetic astronomy and what God put up there and for a purpose. So, like I said, it's a circle, right? And you have the constellations, you know, in that circle. Anyway, so we go. Let's go from here. So, the zodiac comes from the Greek word, I didn't say that one. So, anyway, this way of zodiac is a bed-like area. Look at your picture in your hand. A bed-like area around the middle of the starry panorama in the heaven. In the zodiac, there are 12 constellations. You have it in your hand right there, of stars. A constellation means a grouping of stars, right? And you have 12 of them right there, you know, of stars, known as the signs of the zodiac. Now, to each of these basic sign constellations belong three other constellations. You don't have them there, you know. There are 48 of them in all. Each of the one you see in there, they have associated with them three other constellations. But these are the major ones, you know, the major 12 ones. So each of them have an association with them, three other ones, making 48 in all of them, you know. And God put them there for a purpose, you know. So the whole sky had 48 constellations and form a pictorial revelation of the promises of God to early man. Why to early man? At this time, there was no writing, right? Before they invented writing, wasn't there a plan of redemption before there was anything but reading and writing? You know, before they invented writing. So if there was a plan of redemption, how did the early man, how will they know them? They were depicted in the heaven. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's how they know them. Said, are all of them. They knew about these things from what you know. I can't go in there last morning and so on. You know, the other people, that's how they know about the plan of redemption that being in place, and it was in the heaven, the first Bible, really, you know, which I say here all the time. Anyway, these promises of God concern the person and work of the one who was coming to save man from sin and to restore the relationship with God which man had lost through the fall. Last week we talked about the righteousness. Our righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Purpose of creation, for God to have fellowship with people. And when man fell, purpose of redemption is for God to restore the fellowship, right? So anyway, I can say that these constellations of the zodiac, I will call them stellar prophets that give witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way that the prophets in the Bible gave witness to the Lord Jesus, and to that I refer to Acts 10:43. To him, the Lord Jesus, gave all the prophets witness that through him, his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. He spent 3 weeks going through the Bible and show that all the prophets, they actually give witness to Christ. So these stellar prophets too, they are talking about Christ. This sign that you are seeing in India, they are all talking about Christ. I'm going to do the same thing we do in the written world, in the heavens. This morning, I can't do it all this morning. I will do as I go. Each of the signs, they bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the stellar prophets, right? Now, so the scripture says that the starry heavens not only contain revelation of God, but they are constantly telling their message to man, if they will listen, if they can really listen, and so on. Praise the Lord. So we have this in the Bible that they are saying something. So they reveal this heaven. They reveal knowledge, and their testimony is universally heard all over the world without a spoken word. That's in Psalm 19. Read a few verses from there before we take off. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is our own part. We don't care about astrology or anything like that. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shares his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. You see that one, they are saying something. Day unto day utter their speech, and night unto night shares knowledge. Watch this. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Whether you are in the South Pole, or you are in the North, makes no difference. So this thing, they see them and something like that, Their land is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. So that's what the heaven idea. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, we are told that the gospel was revealed from the starry heavens to the early man. Bible says so in the book of Romans, that the gospel was revealed in the heavens to the ancient Hebrew people. And not only the Hebrew people, but even to the people of the world. And that is in Romans 10:17-18, and we read. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at the verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Now I'm talking to the Jews right now, and the gospel, right? But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, the apostle wrote by divine inspiration. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. The Holy Ghost now quoting Psalm 19, verse 4, right there. That's what he's doing right there. It's the same thing, Romans 10, it is quoting Psalm 19, verse 4, which we know is talking about the heavens, right? He's saying that, have they not heard? They heard the gospel for the heaven. That's what he's saying right there, So that's what he's saying right there, In other words, the earliest prophecies of the gospel were visually preserved by associating them with the heavenly constellations in the zodiac or matters that the Bible was asking Job about. Do you know anything about them? Can you bring them forth? Can you let them come forth each month as they do? Can you do that and so on? Of course, Job couldn't do it anyway. So like I said, there are also 48 constellations. But see, this zodiac didn't include all the visible stars. Just some selected constellations in the heaven are put in the zodiac. So show you a master design. Praise the Lord. Not all the stars are in India really, So now, these 12 signs or constellations, I will use constellation and signs interchangeably, they are the same thing, These 12 signs, with their decans. Decans means the associated ones. So each of them have three with them, right? Making 48, right? They call them decans. Decans means part of. So So if you take the first one, back, I'm going to go into it. You have three words associated with T. They are called the count. They are part of the same thing. So they will just emphasize the truth that the basic consideration reveals. So they just make the expand it really, you know, but they are the same thing, isn't it? So anyway, so in the first four signs of the zodiac, the Lord is portrayed as the suffering savior, the delivering man for the penalty of sin. So they are grouping, even those 12 are further grouped into three groups of four. And the first four of them, you know, so they portray the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, as the suffering savior, delivering man for the penalty of sin. Then in the middle four signs, Christ is portrayed as the glorified blesser, delivering man from the power of sin. See the gospel in the heavens, right? The gospel in the stars, right? And the remaining four, Christ is portrayed as the reigning judge, delivering man from the presence of sin. Now, see the zodiac is in the form of a circle, like I just showed you in your hand right now. There was a problem in knowing which constellation we start from. Where do we start from? There are two. Where do we say circle? Where do we start from? You know, astrology being a false thing, they began from Aries. I don't agree with the Bible at all. See, they are in error right there. So the astrologer, they began from Aries as the first constellation in the zodiac. They were wrong. You know, see. So now, but a comparison of the prophecies in the heavens with the prophecies in the Bible clearly shows that the starting point in the divine promise concerning the seed of the woman is in Genesis 3:15, right? We know that. So, and the ending point coincides with the climax of Scripture in the triumph of the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5:5. This is even wonderful. So, in Genesis 3:15, that's the woman, right? Then, in Revelation 5:5, we see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That tells us something. In the zodiac, in Mazaroth, it means Virgo is the first one, the woman, right? And then the last one is Leo, the lion. See that what it means, really, you know? But astrology not being biblical, they begin from Aries because they didn't know nothing about God created it, right? He didn't know what he's doing, you know? So anyway, to confirm the biblical revelation that the first one is Virgo and that is Leo, now, about 2,000 years before Christ, also, you have all heard about the Sphinx, right? What is Sphinx? Sphinx is a limestone structure that had the head of a woman and the tail of a lion. You see? So they call it the Sphinx. It was a mystery for a long time. Now, many ancient nations, they do have the drawing of the zodiac. Like I give you, right? They had the drawing in the ancient time. There is one in the temple of Esna, back in Egypt, called the temple of Esna. And they have a drawing of the zodiac there, what they call the zodiac, you know, of Dendera, they call it, you know. So in that zodiac, it's not what I give you, but it's different, you know. They put it in the temple, on the ceiling of the temple, they have a diagram of the zodiac, of Mazaroth, you know, on the ceiling of the Esna temple in Egypt. Now, look at your hand between Virgo and Leo, you know, they put a phoenix in there. A phoenix has what? The head of a woman and the tail of a lion, right? Confirming the Bible that this thing begins from Virgo and end in Leo. That's what, you know, so that's what is happening right there, you know. So anyway, so then where do we begin our story of the heavens today? We have to begin from Virgo. Praise the Lord. And what are we doing? We are sure that each constellation, they bear witness of Christ. My subject is Mazaroth. Gives witness to Christ. So we see each constellation and see how we can see the gospel in there. That's our mission by the grace of God. So we have to begin from Virgo, where the Bible began from, you know, not from Aries, like astrology we think. So Virgo, the seed of the woman. The prophetic revelation in the heavens begins with the constellation of Virgo, you know. And the pictorial representation of this constellation, that of a woman. If you not look at a woman in there, you know, but that's what, you know, of a woman with an ear of wheat in her left hand and a branch in her right hand. Even those two words, the wheat and then the branch, you know. And the name of the constellation is from the Latin and has a double connotation. Vago means a virgin, and also they call it that a vaga, meaning a branch. Not only in the heavens, the deity that has a branch of wheat in her hand, and then, you know, in her right arm, a branch, so they say that and so on. So even the Latin word, there are two of them, you know, a virgin, meaning vago, and also a vaga, V-I-G-A-R, meaning a branch. Now, the Latin Vulgate, by that I mean the principal Latin version of the Bible, you know, that's what they call the Vulgate, uses both words, meaning they use the vago and vaga as referring to Christ, right there in the Latin version of the Bible and something like that, you know. Fourth, as the branch, reference Isaiah 11:1. So, what is it in Isaiah 11:1? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Secondly, a virgin born, in Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So you see right there, the branch, and then the virgin, the woman. So that, you know. Now, the ear of wheat in her hand, in that constellation, wheat is a type of seed, right? Revealing the truth of Genesis 3:15, and where the Bible says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the meaning of the name, so we see right there, you know, right there. So the meaning of the name of many stars, don't forget that a constellation is nothing but a grouping of stars, right? You can see it in your hand. So it's a grouping of stars, you know, all those dots are, you know, are stars in the constellation as well as that, you know. So we find out in many, many cultures, both in Hebrew, both in Arabic and so on, they have different names, but they have the same meaning. Because why? In the ancients, they know this in the ancients. Many of these are the laws, right? Now we are saying these things because the written word, now I will say it supersedes that in the heaven. God knows that not people can read the heavens, right? When they invented the writing and reading, then the written word now takes prominence. Praise the Lord. But does it change the truth of the heavens anyway? So this is how they have names in different cultures. People have found out the meaning of the name. There's something to a name, right? What is in a name, right? Names have meaning. Even you, but they will say, they learn who some other look of. So anyway, so they have looked at the meanings of this name for each culture, for each constellation, and they mean the same thing. So the meaning of the names of many stars in the constellation of Virgo, where we are in right now, amplify its basic meaning. This meaning includes the branch, for example, and I will dwell on that. As the branch, Christ is revealed as king. Don't forget, we are talking about the branch because, according to what it said, you know, in the constellation Virgo, he has an ear of wheat in her hand and a branch at her right hand. So let's see now. As a branch, Christ is revealed as king. Jeremiah 23:5. I have to be quick right here. I can't finish all of them this morning. I will just stop as soon as I can go, you know. So as a branch, Christ is revealed as the king. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. You see that right there? And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Last Sunday, the topic was, no, Christ our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. So we see right there. So Christ now, as the branch, is revealed as a servant in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men
wondered at. For behold, I will bring for my servant a branch. So the book of Zechariah 3 reveals Christ, you know, as a servant, the branch as a servant. That branch is the Lord in the prophetic thing. So it's a servant right there. So Jeremiah, Jeremiah, he was a king, right? Now, again, the same branch, meaning Christ, is revealed as man in Zechariah 6:12. And I read, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man, see that one, calling the branch, that same branch, the man whose name is the branch, see that, you know, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. The major temple shall be built by the branch, the Lord himself, you know, so we know that, you know. Now, again, one more, there are four of them in the Bible, that are by the branch, which we see that Virgo was pointing to and so on. As the branch, Christ is revealed as God. That's in Isaiah 4:2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that escape of Israel. Now, do you even know that four order? It's also telling that's the gospel order, right? Christ being revealed as king, as servant, and as man, and as God. That's what the gospels are. Because, why? In the four gospels, the gospel of Matthew reveals Christ as the king. All Bible readers know that, right? And the book of Mark shows him as a servant. I think I've even said that here before as a sermon, really, you know, many years ago. And Luke, of course, shows the Lord Jesus as a man. And the book of John, Gospel of John, show him as God. The same thing as the revelation of the branch. That branch, that constellation was holding, and some of that, you know. So in summary then, the truth presented in the constellation of Virgo is that the virgin was to have a son, meaning a seed, who will be called the branch of Jehovah. God will appear in human form, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be born of a virgin, made the incarnation, right? And this is also written in the Bible. So that is the first Bible to the heavens, all portrayed there before there was any written thing. Won't they know, won't Enoch know that coming the Redeemer? How would they know? There was nothing written, you know? So it's in the heavens. I'll just say the first one of them. Now let's quickly move to the second one. Second constellation in Zodiac is called Libra. And it means the required prize. You know, means the required prize. Following the constellation Virgo, you can see it in your hand, in the Zodiac, is the Libra constellation, you know. Libra is always pictured as a pair of old-fashioned balances. It doesn't look like that in your hand, but never mind. But that's how people depict him all over the world, you know. It's always depicted as a pair of old-fashioned balances or scales with a horizontal beam supported with a pivot in the middle and 2 pounds of equal weight suspended from each, from the end. The interpretation of the Hebrew name for constellation Libra is called scales or weighing. That is the Hebrew meaning of the Libra constellation. See, these names, they have meaning. And it's the meaning of the names that we get what it really stands for and something like that, you know. So in Hebrew, the Libra constellation is, you know, the meaning is scales, like you are weighing something or weighing. Now, the interpretation of the Arabic name, in the Arabic name for the Libra constellation, is purchase or redemption. Can you imagine? Even in Arabic, you know. So it's purchase or redemption. So the weighing on the scales and the purchase price are found in both Hebrew and Arabic. As I just show you now, the Hebrew say, okay, it is called the scale or weighing. The Arabic say, oh, it is the purchase or redemption. All referring to the same constellation, Libra, right? So, and today, we know purchase is properly associated with weight and measures, right? How in the grocery, what do you do in the grocery? When you are buying something, per pound, right? They buy per pound, right? Per pound. So when and purchase, even till today, are always together, right? Even so, salvation too is often described as redemption by purchase, you know? And these are all depicted in the heaven in this constellation called Libra. Now, the name of the brightest star in Libra means the pride which is deficient. We are going to the meaning of these things and so on. I know. So, the brightest star in that constellation, I don't want to mention their name, but their meaning, we don't care what their name, but their meaning, means the pride which is deficient. So, this undoubtedly points to the price that man will attempt to pay for his salvation. It's deficient. See? That we're talking about. We are saying that there is nothing a man can do or pay which will be enough to purchase his salvation. Period. And it's done in the constellation of Libra. You know, they say a price which is deficient, you know. Nothing you can do for salvation, right? Like Bezalel, I believe in Daniel chapter 5, all people are weighing the balances and found wanting. Daniel 5:27. We are also told in the Psalms, this is the second Psalm, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. We are saying that nothing man can do to purchase his redemption. And even in the constellation, some languages call it pride, which is deficient. That Libra constellation. The name of another bright star in Libra means the pride which covers. See? The pride which covers. The pride which covers, of course, is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is what? It's the payment of a price to buy back what is in the possession of another, isn't it? The scripture declares that we, born again Christians, in 1 Peter 1:18, were not redeemed, you see, with corruptible things as silver and gold. 19th verse says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, the elders in heaven sang in Revelation 5:9. What did they sing? Thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. So this truth is emphasized by the only other star that is known, in that constellation Libra. The name means the price of the conflict. Yes, another star. The meaning of this name is the price of the conflict. What does that mean to us? That reminds us that the payment of the price of redemption at Calvary involved a conflict. You know, all this name of this satanic constellation, they mean something pointing to the gospel. That's the way God preached the gospel. Romans tell us that that's the way gospel was preached originally, you know, to man before there was any written record. So, while constellation Virgo showed the coming of the Savior to be the seed of the woman, Libra reveals the price which the Savior is a continuous story of the same redemption story, each of these constellations from the Virgo. So, like I said, the Virgo showed the coming of the Savior to be the seed of the woman. Libra reveals the price which the Savior will pay in order to redeem man. Libra declares man's depravity and God's ability to redeem. Man's wickedness, rebellion, and so on. At the same time, it declares God's ability to redeem. See, it points to the place of redemption at Calvary, where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. That's right. Above all, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, whose blood was shed in payment of man's redemption. So we stop with Libra right there. Go to the next one really quickly. You know, I probably will stop in the, I don't know, you know, I won't cover everything this morning. Scorpio is the next one. It means the mortal conflict. Scorpio, another constellation there in Zodiac. You can see your hand right here.
I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
Who named the stars?
I'm sorry?
Who gave names to those stars?
God gave the name to them. Bible says, enumerate the stars. The number and name them. I think Psalm 147, I don't know where that is, no? But as time passes on, right, so they lost the original name, you know? Most of the names we have today are in Latin form, you see?
So you see, because of time, and because God knows at one time, he will replace mostly at the revelation of salvation in the written form. So anyway, these names originally were lost, you know, because of time, you know. And most of the names used today, they are the Latin version of those names. And also, what we are looking for, not even the name, the meaning of the name. And even no matter what these people call them, the ancient, they still mean the same thing. That's the mystery of the thing, because it's the truth, right? So that's how it goes. God knew the number of times he named he called them all by their names, right? Originally. So praise the Lord. Now, so we are going in Scorpio right now, you know. So the third concept. I'm sorry?
That's much.
I don't even match it to the month, you know. Sorry about that. So I don't want to go into that kind of astrological something, you know. So which month it is, praise the Lord. So I just want to go by the name of the constellation, you know. So all the horoscope people, they go by that and measure things like that, you know. So now, so what we know is that each month, as it rotates around the sun, is in one of the constellations, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You may be right, maybe March. I think it's around July or something, they mark it like that, you know. So I'm not looking at that direction really. I'm just looking at their meaning and the biblical meaning of it, you know. So praise the Lord. So the third constellation is Scorpio. It presents the great conflict of the ages, in which the mighty Savior triumphs over the old serpent, the devil. The constellation depicts a huge scorpion in the act of trying to sting the heel of a mighty man who is wrestling with a great snake.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is happening there. And at the same time, the scorpion is being crushed by the other foot of this mighty man. God placed this constellation in the heavens to continue the story of the prophecy of the coming Redeemer, who was to bruise the serpent's head while he himself is bruised in the heel. Genesis 3:15 is being depicted there also. Constellation Virgo, like I said before, pointed to him as the promised seed of the woman. Libra showed the price he will pay to secure our redemption. Now, this constellation called Scorpio shows the conflict he will have to endure in our redemption, you know. They are all there, you know. I mean, God's put in the stars, you know. So God puts them in the task force. Now, all in all, the meaning of the names of the stars and of the constellation indicate that Scorpio represents the evil one, in all his attempts to destroy the seed of the woman. That was the Scorpio constellation really represents. God put it in the heaven to show what conflict will happen, you know, and so on. These celestial prophecies were given to man in the beginning, and later confirmed even in the written word. Finally, they were fulfilled at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture narrative indicates many attempts, even back in history, many attempts to destroy the chosen seed. We name a few of them so that this conversation is really depicted. For example, when Israel was in Egypt, what happened? Satan energized Pharaoh to destroy every male seed of Abraham. Exodus 1:16-22, I won't go there. You can just share. All through history, this struggle, this conflict, and so on, and the chosen seed, and so on. Sit in Egypt, and in the kingdom of Judah, Satan prompted the wicked Athaliah, talking about that not too long ago, to destroy all the royal seed. 1 Kings 11:1. During the captivity, the wicked Haman, no doubt inspired by Satan, try to have all the Jews slain. Esther 3:6, you know. And when the Savior was born in Bethlehem, what happened? Another attempt by Satan inspired Herod was made to kill all the Jewish babies, including the Lord himself, who was born King of the Jews. Matthew 2:16. The malicious battle continued. With growing desperation during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the wilderness, at the great trial, breaking the 40-day fast, if thou be the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Are you eating bread at 40 days fasting, you know, things like that, you know, and then make bread for the devil. So the trouble continues. Even when he was in Nazareth, you know, and of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane continued. The climax was at the cross, as we all know, where the evil one struck the seed of the woman with all his enormous might. The death of Christ, I know what happened to him, didn't know. The death of Christ proved to be the defeat of the devil, of the evil one, and the triumph of the crucified, as the Lord rose from the dead the third day. So the succeeding cancellations now, in the sign of Scorpio, the one following, we now declare the Messiah's triumph. It's the same continuous story of redemption, you know. I'm going to get two more, then we stop for today. Now, the next one is Sagittarius. Sagittarius, the final triumph. It's a chain of revelation of the same salvation that God has given to us, and things like that, you know. Sagittarius was the next one. Pictorially, the Sagittarius constellation appears in the form of a centaur, coming in confidence and strength with his great bow drawn to the full. The arrow, ready to fly, is aimed at the heart of the constellation Scorpio, the enemy. See, idea, you know. So, and the name Sagittarius means what? It means Asher in Hebrew. That's what it means in Hebrew, you know. Asher. That word, of course, we know, if we are Bible readers, that word Asher is used associated with Ishmael, as we know. Genesis 21:20. And God was with the lad, meaning Ishmael, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an Asher. The name means arrow in Arabic. See? It was Asher in Hebrew. Sagittarius means Asher in Hebrew. It means arrow in Arabic. The Coptic records, by Coptic, I mean the ancient Egyptian people, and so on, as you know. The Coptic records, India, the name means the beauty of the coming forth. See? Now, to the ancient Arabs, the name Sagittarius means completing or finishing. Other names by which the constellation is called include the gracious one, the dart, who coming forth, prince of the earth. See? Mean all those things. So when all these names of the constellation are taken together, we see the regal dignity of the heavenly Asher as he goes forth to conquer. Now, let's get some of these names and their meaning to God. The victorious Sagittarius being a centaur. A centaur means what? It means, being a being with two nations. What a centaur means? It means a being with two nations, right? It depicts the dual nature of Christ. See? And the God-man. That's what it means, the God-man. Even right there, in the form of a centaur, we all know centaur means he being with a dual nature. So he's talking about the dual nature of Christ, a God man who came to accomplish his wonderful work of overturning the power of the enemy and redeeming the sinful man. The theme of the prophetic message of the Sagittarius constellation is that of Christ, which is written in the 45th Psalm, and I'll bring some of them to you as well. That is the theme of that constellation. The Lord Jesus Christ, right there. In the 45th Psalm. I go to later. As the gracious one, Psalm 45:2 says this: Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. We all know Psalm 45 talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even we have done many, many things about it. When we talk about the white virgins, right? And things like that, we come with Psalm 45 and things like that, you know. So we know it references the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And all these names that they give to this constellation are found in there. See, in Psalm 45, the name, the story, who comes forth, right? From a language called as constellation, who comes forth, right? That's in Psalm 45, verse 4. And in thy majesty, right, prosperously, you know. Also, one other name, the called constellation, as the divine person, right, who is noble and righteous. What we see in Psalm 45, verse 4, next section, of truth and meekness and righteousness. Talking about the same. Now, another name for the constellation is, meaning of the constellation is that, as the great Asher. Look at 45, Psalm 45, verse 5. Thy arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy. God put all these things in the heaven before there was a written, before there was the written word. They are all there, you know. Now, another meaning of the name of the constellation was the prince of the earth. Yet, Psalm 45 said the same thing, verse 6. That throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. So the constellations are, this constellation reminds us that the conquering Sagittarius goes on in his battle to the complete overthrow and the final perdition of the enemy. It depicts him who, having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, as in Colossians 2:15. So that's what that Sagittarius means, you know, right there. Let's get one or two more before we close here. So, and then Capricorn is the next one. Capricorn, meaning life out of death. Life out of death. So, like I said, the previous four constellations we were talking about, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, portrayed four aspects of the prophetic truth concerning the person and work of the coming Redeemer. That is, the manhood he will assume, the Lord Jesus Christ, the price he will pay, talking about all money long, the battle he will fight, and the victory he will win. Now, this constellation Capricorn, together with the other three I've mentioned before, or following it, they tell another story. So from this one on, from Capricorn onward to the next three ones, the next three are going to be Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. So they are the second, there are three groupings, right, of four, right? And we have finished the first segment of it, right? So the second, now the middle one, right? Which will be Capricorn, you know, like I just said, we're going to get into it now. That's the second grouping of that, you know. So now, in the heavens, the pictorial representation of the constellation Capricorn is a goat with the tail of a fish. That seems to be what, isn't it? So that's what he does, you know. God who put them there knows what he's doing, right? So that is the pictorial representation of that constellation Capricorn. It's a goat with the tail of a fish. The prophetic truth signified by Capricorn is right in the heart of the gospel message itself. What is it? What is a goat in the Bible terminology? The goat, even that goat, not an ordinary goat, as it depicted it, it's a dying goat. So it was a dying goat. With the head bowed down, according to them, and a folded leg, while the fish tail is living and very vigorous. What kind of depiction is this? But it's not in the Bible. The goat was a sacrificial animal, fact we know, and was used extensively in the sin offering. Without me going to read it, Leviticus 9, 1 to 3, we tell you right there, you know. The goat is used in connection with atonement made for the Israelites, and particularly on the Great Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, 1 to 34. Now, the Hebrew name for Capricorn means what? The kid, made as a kid, like a kid, or a kid, I don't know, or cut off. So, and there's a one, and one time that constellation has a name meaning the sacrifice comes. That's the meaning, another star. Yet another star in the constellation says it means the sacrifice slain. And they all mean the same thing, different languages, sacrifice slain. So all these meanings are in perfect accord with biblical truth concerning the Lord Jesus. The atoning sacrifice, taking the sinner's place and bearing the punishment for sin. The goat of the sin offering was to do what? Was to bear the iniquity of the congregation. We are told in Leviticus 10, 16 to 17, that the goat of the sin offering was to bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord. So, was a type of Christ. So we know that. How about the living fish from the dying goat in this constellation? What does it really mean? It speaks of the multitudes of the redeemed who have been given eternal life as a result of the sacrifice of Christ. That really means, you know, even we know that many, many things. The fish symbolizes the elect, right? We know that. So that's why that dying goat typifies Christ, the sin offering. And then the tail of the fish means all the multitude of Christians who are going to believe on the Lord Jesus. Many scriptures depict Christianity or Christian as fishes, right? Even the Lord Himself, the Lord Himself said that, let me see, I think I have the scripture here. The Lord called the early disciples fishers of men. That is in Matthew 4:19. You know, He told Peter, thou will not catch men anymore. They'll be called fishers of men, right? Matthew 4:19, telling you how fish represent Christians all over the Bible. The symbol, fish symbol, was also used in the gathering of Israel itself. It pertains to the elect of God, whether Christian or somebody, you know, both of them. Even pertaining to Israel gathering, we are told in Jeremiah 16, the 16th verse, behold, I will send forth many fishers. See that? Say the Lord, and they shall fish them. See? Talking about the gathering of Israel. Thus, the living fish, emerging from the dying goat, speaks of life that comes from the death of the sacrifice. All these things, you see, he said the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the multitude will come out to believe on His name. All depicted in that constellation are in the heavens, Capricorn. Let's move to the next one. Then I will finish with this one, I guess. So let's go to Aquarius. Aquarius is the next one, the sixth one, I believe it is. It means blessing out of victory. You know, out of victory. So the name Aquarius comes from the Latin. So like I said before, because they have lost the original thing, so it comes from the Latin. It means the water pourer, see, which exactly what the constellation really depicts. The Hebrew name means water jar, and so is the Arabic name. Both the Hebrew and the Arabic mean the meaning means the water jar. The name of one of the stars in that constellation, Aquarius, means the record of the pouring out. Yet another star in that constellation has a name that means he who pours out. Look at that thing. Water, pours out, all of them. All languages and so on, meaning the same thing. And the name of Aquarius in the famous Egyptian zodiac of Dendera means the place of pouring out. Whether you talk Arabic and so on, they mean the same thing, pouring out. See? So these names, therefore, consistently witness to a single theme, and assuredly have a parallel in the scriptures as other constellations that we have seen. For example, the Lord Jesus said in John 4:14, the woman at the well, right? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So Aquarius presents the Lord Jesus Christ to us as the giver of the living waters to his redeemed people, you know. In the preceding constellations, as we study Capricorn and so on, the truth of redemption by the blood sacrifice was emphasized. Now Aquarius teaches us that those who have been redeemed by the blood are given the living water of eternal life. The Lord poured out his blood in redeeming the people, his people, and now he pours out the water of life in blessing his people. Even the church in the wilderness, what do we read about there? Church in the wilderness, meaning the Israelites, right? Came to a crisis point in their journey, right? Talking about this water and so on, and the Lord, whether it's in the New Testament or whatever, where there was no water at all. We read in Numbers 20, verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Verse 9 says, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And verse 11 says, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. See? And the congregation drank. And their beast also. We don't want to talk about whether, you know, we won't talk about the incident of him doing it twice. The Bible tells us later in 1 Corinthians 10, 4, that's wrong, but I told that in 1 Corinthians 10, 4, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So you see, right in the heavens, you know, in that constellation and so on, that you know, the water bearer and so on, that you know, right in the heaven, even more scripture about this water and the Lord and so on. Speaking of the coming kingdom, we are told in Isaiah 33, verse 20, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnness. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, nor one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Number 21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad waters and streams. See, the Lord associating, you know, as I'm pouring the water of salvation, of eternal life to his people. Even right there, even just another scripture says this in prophecy, in Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and a man shall be toward the end as rivers of water in a dry place. This water of life, all the time associated with the Lord, depicted that in the heavens there. Of the blessing that shall come upon Israel, we are told that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Balaam. The Allen prophet. Yeah, Allen prophet, yes. But what time he listened to the Lord in the beginning, I hear what he said in Numbers 24, verse 7. He shall pour the water, you see. Right, that consideration, you see. You know, pour the water. He shall pour the water out of his bucket. That's the Lord, right? And his seed shall be in many waters, he said. Now, how much, like Aquarius, is this prophecy speaking of the future blessing poured out on Israel? So the application to the believer is the same today as that water coming out of the rock for the church in the wilderness. The same thing for us today. The Lord invited all to come to him for salvation and satisfaction, saying in John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible says, not clarify for us, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because the Lord Jesus was not yet glorified at that time, you know. So Christ, the great Aquarius, is the one who bestowed on his people the water of life and the blessings of salvation. The living water flows out from him as a result of his atonement. So this morning, I just stopped right down the sixth constellation right there. And, you know, so no matter, even on that, at that note, no matter where we are at today, and so on, you know, we can always come to the Lord, out of your belly, rivers of living water. When we talk about this thing, we should have faith for anything. You know, this gospel of our salvation, before there was any written record, have been placed in the heavens, you know. What we are even enjoying today was written at what time in the heavens, you know. So we should build up our faith. You know, so, and again, we just, by the grace of God here, whatever is in the Bible, and we just talk about them, there are many, many different subjects we have. Even no matter what the church does, we can never finish all the mysteries of God, I mean, on our own, I mean, praying individually and so on, that, you know, there's always something to talk about in the Bible, and the whole Bible should be the doctrine of the church. To praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. You know, this kind of message also expose the falsehood of astrology and the people that worship the suns and the stars, and they guide their life by all these things. The Bible says, by as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. not to be led by monthly prognosis and things like that, you know, but to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, how many people in this modern world, even people in high places, are led by this false religion and so on? Just like they corrupt the word of God, the Bible says we are not going to corrupt the word of God. They corrupt the word of God, they corrupt the revelation of the heaven, they corrupt the prophecy in stone. Anything that God did, Satan will corrupt. But we thank you because the evening that has come to the people of God, and all, we're not in darkness at all. We are children of light. So we thank you for all the time we have spent in your word this morning. So Lord God Almighty, whatever our need may be this morning, Lord, Father, we commit them to your hand, Lord. We trust you with all our heart, Lord. Just like those church in the wilderness, Lord, when they come to their wit's end, Lord, where will they get water from? You know, but there you are, there. I say, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Like a brother said earlier on, when you are in trouble, why are you panicking and so on? The Lord is there, I'll be with him in trouble. Not only that, I will deliver you out of it. I will show you my salvation. Bible tells us, remember that, you know. So we thank you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, you know, deliver us from them all. When we see all this revelation, they are to increase our faith to believe God for anything and everything. The faith that can move any kind of a mountain in the name of the Lord Jesus. So all the need represented here this morning, we commit unto your hand, Father. We believe the word of God that says that our God will supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to walk circumspectly as wise children in this age, Lord. Not to walk as foolish people and so on, you know, to see the Lord to conduct our affairs with divine revelation from the Lord in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And what there are so many voices today, and there's none without signification in the name of the Lord. We are to be able to weigh everything we hear with the scriptures. You know, that's the word of God is the final authority of all things. Many deceivers are in the world. And there are wolves in sheep clothing. Lord, there are wolves in sheep clothing. Bible says, except, you know, if it were possible, it will deceive the very elect. People are running over there, hearing one prophecy over there, and so on. No, Bible says we should judge prophecy, we should judge every, you know, prophecy and so on. It be the word of God. Many people, God's children are burying their head in the sand. Somebody prophesied something here. A few ways, even the apostle that was used to write, no, half of the New Testament, you know, in the Bereans, they will go back and see whether what is supposed to have said are really so. Many of God's people are not doing that today. Somebody said, prophesy over there, and some of that, you know. And they just run, following there, and some of that, you know. Help your people at this time of the age. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. See many, many, and the internet and so on. All kind of youth and all kind of voices are going up there. And they will make one mistake and, you know, prophesy one thing, doesn't come to pass. They still have followers, you know. People will always, you know, they always have followers. Lord Jesus, you are the true and the good shepherd. So Lord, help your children, help us at this last hour of the age. As we owe to the word of God, you will truly supply our needs. So we thank you. As we go this morning, Lord, in the name of, we commit the new to your hand. Commit that way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And it shall bring it to pass. As a body worshiper, together here this morning, commit our way to your hand this week, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We commit our works unto your hand. Commit thy works unto the Lord. So shall your thoughts be established. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So Lord, let it be to us according to your word. You will establish our hearts and our thoughts. In Jesus' name. It is written that we shall find favor before men, as we have found favor before God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, oh Lord, rebuke the devourer concerning thy people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let not destroy the fruit of the ground of thy people. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Open unto your children your good treasure. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, grant it, oh Lord. Lord, until that people, oh Lord, have sufficiency in all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, and lacking nothing. In the name of the Lord. Grant it, O Lord. You say, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. 3 John 2. Let it be to us according to thy word. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord. The Bible says the silver and the gold is the Lord, and so on. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means that all that God has belongs unto us. in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Lord, thank you, Father. Give us understanding day by day in the name of the Lord. Thank you for the age you are living in, Lord. You are trying to preserve our going out and our coming in.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the promise. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There shall no evil befall us. There shall no plague corner our dwelling.
Amen.
We claim the promise. You will
thank
bless
you,
because we serve the Lord. You will bless our water.
Amen.
And you bless our bread.
Amen.
And you take away all sickness, all of them, from the midst of us.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We can say day by day, no, with the Psalm 103, bless the Lord our soul.
Amen.
Who forgives all our iniquities.
Amen.
Who heals all our diseases. Even satisfy our mouth with good things. You renew our youth as the eagles. You have crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. And we shall never be quiet. In the name of the Lord Jesus, declaring the salvation of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We worship and we adore you, Lord. We pray for the people that are going through terrible times in Texas. Thank God the prayer of faith has changed things too. You know, people have been praying. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, you know, because, again, you know, let the nations know that only in Christ Jesus is there any safety. And in the Bible says, vain is the help of a man. Whether you call it government or technology and so on, they can only go as far as the Lord will allow. Right there, we see all the technology, we see when they show, you know, begin to preach in there, we see what happened there. Lord, we thank you for hearing prayers. Thank you for beginning to restore things to them. Those who have lost people there, Lord, we pray that you comfort them. Let their heart be turned to the living God. In the name of Jesus. Heal the broken heart, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And, oh Lord God, restore to the people who have lost one thing or the other. Father, we worship and we adore you. We go forth now in your name now until we meet again now, Lord. We know the angel of your presence. He does go before us and we give us rest on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your patience. Again, praise God. Amen. Let's think it closely quickly. He's coming back again.